tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. I am your host, Tiana Hobson, and joining me tonight, I have... Sorry, you're just looking at me and smiling, and I love it, but Corey Tucker is here.
Hey, everyone, here we are.
And also, we have in the booth and joining us for a little commentary as well, Mark Donica.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to be back. I'm happy to be back on the show.
Thank you for being here with us. I mean, we are two panelists short tonight. Blake is out sick. Get well.
Get well.
Marissa, this is a very important disclaimer directly from Marissa. I will read you the text message she sent me today. Please note my 50-plus straight Once Upon a Time perfect attendance has finally been broken tonight. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. You better mention this on air. So, Marissa has not missed a single Once Upon a Time after show since we took over starting in season two. Tonight is the first time that she has missed. So, you know, well done.
Also as engineer, you know. So.
She engineered a lot of
but
them, too.
Well done.
Well done, Marissa. Our hats are off to you. You deserve a break because we're all guilty of missing a week or so.
Yes.
So tonight's episode, I just want to get right into it.
Of course.
Let's start with the flashbacks. We see Regina and Rumple. This is now a couple years, I'm assuming, after she saved Snow's life and Snow has told her secret and she's all angry and she doesn't feel like she's getting her revenge fast enough.
Yeah.
And Rumple is telling her, you know, have a little patience. There's this lady that I know who, you know.
How convenient.
That she used to be a dragon and, but it took her a long time to get there. She had patience. Why don't you go off and see her? So she goes over to Maleficent's castle. I guess I just never realized that Maleficent was supposed to be so much older than Regina.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that till this moment either. And I don't even know if that's really the case as much as more advanced and more skilled.
Right? I think the way that she dresses in the modern times is also an indicator of that, that she's from a different era. She's supposed to be this like far away lost person that we don't quite understand, but we can kind of get the idea that maybe she's from a different time. Is sort of the thing. Just like how Gold dresses differently.
Yeah, she had that little, like, Dick Tracy outfit kind of going on.
She did look like
a
1950s secretary or something.
Yeah.
And you even pointed out while we were watching that she looked like the Wicked Witch from last season.
She did.
And I totally agree. When we first saw her in Storybrook and she was getting out of a car, I was like, wait, when did the Wicked Witch come back?
Yeah, I thought it was her for a second. And then I realized, wait, no. We're in a different story arc right now.
But Maleficent, when Regina finds her, has lost all her power. She's kind of defeated. It looks like she's living in the 1980s with that crimped up hair. I was like, oh, look, the 80s come to the Enchanted Forest. How nice. But she's kind of down and just in an evil place. She doesn't have her magic anymore. She's defeated. She's telling Regina, you know, you might as well just give up on your goal of getting revenge on these people because it's worthless. Did you see that part coming? Because I didn't see.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And for a second, it kind of confused me, like, what happened to Maleficent. At first, I thought maybe it was after she lost the child, but it doesn't make sense. So it has to be before the child was lost. But yeah, it was interesting. Once Upon a Time is really confusing. Let's just face it.
Yeah, it's very hard to keep up with all the flashbacks that happen, where they happen in the timeline. But thank goodness we have awesome fans like you guys, because you guys are probably already commenting and tweeting at us that we're getting this whole thing wrong.
We read all your comments.
You mean using the hashtag ABTV once?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Use hashtag ABTV once and we'll see your tweets even faster.
Very true.
And tweet at us directly.
Yeah, I'll be checking.
Yeah. I put you in charge of Twitter.
Okay.
So we Regina has now put it under herself to break her out of this kind of spell that she's under and get her back on her feet. Yeah. As she's leaving, feeling defeated, she comes across, she's walking on the road, and some random dude is like, oh, yeah, I'll take you to the next kingdom. I'm on my way to the wedding.
Yeah.
Because we find out that King Stefan and Queen Briar Rose, who Briar Rose is who Maleficent put into the sleeping spell originally.
Yeah, which really confused me, but yes, okay.
We're going back a generation. Uh-huh. So it's before she attacks Aurora. Briar Rose gets out of the sleeping curse because of King Stefan. Mm. And so Regina goes back and's like, hey, their daughter's getting married now. Why does she get to have another generation is going on, moving forward with their life, having their happy ending?
By the way, I thought that was kind of cute how they were saying another generation is going through, and then you think of Snow, and then you think of even Emma, and then you start thinking of Henry, and it's kind of interesting that they mentioned that.
The generations, yeah. That, like, okay, once this family has their good luck, they kind of get to continue it, and at what point do the villains get to then come and ruin everything, or attempt to ruin everything,
or
get
try
there.
To be good again. I don't know.
Or try to be good.
But then we're like recycling the same villains.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. A little bit. But so this kind of finally it inspires Maleficent to, you know, go out there and try. So they go to the tree that's still burning from her rage from however long ago that was, and she sucks up all the fire. And right at that point, conveniently, King Stefan comes and is like, you're not going to ruin my daughter's happy day. I'm going to capture you. And she tries to do her whole dragon thing, and it doesn't quite work out. And at this point, I'm just thinking, like, well, I mean, King Stefan.
Yeah.
You have, like, 5 guards with you. Even if she can't become a dragon, the 2 of them together still have magic that they can use that will outwit your swords. So how do you expect to win this game?
I guess he was under the perception that they were kind of powerless compared to him, because he obviously did take them away anyway and backfired, but
yeah. Thank goodness Regina and her very, very new magic is there, and she burns off her rope and's like, I'm gonna take them down with my fireballs, and then she conjures up one big fat one and throws it at them, and then can't get anything else.
I know, I was actually impressed with her fireballs. I mean, that's cool, and then all of a sudden it stopped working.
Yeah, because I was like, I mean, if you have fireballs and she has fire, this is an easy fight for anyone.
Should have been an easy
fight, but it was, I guess it kind of took, you know, the pressure of the situation to get Maleficent to the point where she could trust herself again and really become the dragon and unleash the dragon, as they would say.
And she did.
And what I loved about finding out in this storyline is that even before Regina was, I mean, before she was the evil queen and before she redeemed herself to be the good Regina that we know, she still was going out of her way to help someone that she didn't even know. It might have been to help them to get evil powers
back.
Yeah,
that's what I was like.
But it was still sort of like this loyalty and friendship that, then thinking about it, what happened in between that time that she would then put Maleficent into a dungeon for 30 years, keeping her captive.
So it actually makes more sense why Maleficent is a little softer with Regina in present time Storybrooke, because Regina actually helped her out in the past, where I think Maleficent does say thank you at some point in the past, right?
I think so.
I think she says that. But it's interesting to see Regina being that witch, because I don't want to say the B word, again, where she's looking for power and hurting anyone, and more than anything, that revenge that's so strong, and for her to go towards Maleficent, who's actually a really dangerous character. It was kind of cool to see their connection.
Yeah, and it's good to see how, you know, the friendship sort of started, and like you said, why Maleficent is more lenient with Regina in present-day Storybrooke. Mark, what did you think about that whole relationship?
I thought it was very interesting how they treated each other, but Regina saw Maleficent at her darkest, at her lowest, which was, like, there's an allegory for, like, heroin, and it was... It's also nice to see that it isn't just Rumpel that pushes Regina that extra mile to be evil. It's getting this person, how Maleficent got her groove back, by helping her do that, she then saw new ways to be bad, but we still got to see that kind person that we're seeing in modern day. It was a wonderful dichotomy.
Yeah, I completely, wonderful is a great word for mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
And dichotomy is a very big word for me.
I chose I chose wonderful over dichotomy, so, you know.
Either way, it was good stuff. So, I mean, speaking of the inspiration for Regina's sort of new plan of revenge, where she's now thinking, I don't have to kill Snow White. What's better is to make her suffer and live to see the one she loves disappear. And this inspiration came from Maleficent capturing King Stefan and deciding not to kill him, but that the greatest thing she could do was to make him watch his daughter suffer. And so she goes into Aurora's bedroom while she's brushing her hair 100 times before she falls asleep, and pricks her and puts her to sleep. Yeah. Right? That was another sleeping curse.
Yeah, that's how I saw it. Well, that's, I know, obviously Regina ends up doing the same with the horse, right?
Yeah.
That's why. That's a twist from our story.
But then,
our story that we used to.
And forgive me because I cannot remember off the top of my head and I need to go back and watch this. But when we first meet Aurora and Prince Philip, it was that, you know, she had been locked away and
yes.
They had all been asleep for years and years, so they were kind of frozen in time. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this storyline is then looping us back to the beginning of that, the part of that story we didn't see.
Well, that's the part that confuses me, because I keep confusing myself with the animated feature where she was a child and taken away, so she would have no growth with her parents, so it's weird that she gets into sleeping curse. So I'm a little confused. Maybe yeah. you guys can tell us.
Well, we didn't see the rest of the kingdom after this sleeping curse. So we don't know if this one sleeping curse affected everybody else, or if there were two, one that affected just Aurora, or if then now this is what begins that time pause
but
that
if
we've seen.
If this is one of two, then how would she come back and then why would she go back? You know, it's just like, it's just weird. But anyway.
They left it open yeah. because the writers like to have fun with their own
and confuse
talk.
Us, effectively.
So hopefully we'll learn, because I think it would be cool that, you know, if this then looped back to the point of where we first met Aurora a couple seasons ago.
With Mulan, right?
With Mulan yeah. and Prince Philip. And because Maleficent also said, I have worse plans for your precious Prince yes. Philip. So it's like, oh gosh, he's already in the picture. So what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Did we already see what she had that was worse planned? Mm-hmm. Or is there actually something worse right. planned that we didn't see already?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting as we kind of keep our eye on that. And then, you know, this is when Regina goes back to the stable and puts Snow's horse to sleep for 100 years, because she is under the belief that, you know, Snow's now the most accomplished rider in all of the land, but Regina's feelings are that it's actually the horse doing all the work right. and not Snow. So if she doesn't have her prized possession horse, then she's going to be horrible.
It was kind of a test, right? Also to yeah. see, like, putting that horse to sleep, then that means that she can put, you know, entire much bigger, greater curse eventually, but I guess she wants to put the curse on Snow White, right?
Yeah. No, she doesn't use that.
She doesn't want to give the apple, right? Isn't that the sleeping
princess?
Oh,
yeah. I forgot. She does sleep. All these princesses getting to nap. I'm jealous.
I know, right? Like, hook me up with that apple.
Yeah, can I have an apple?
Just find me a prince to kiss later, so I'll be fine.
So then that's our flashback. And then we go into present-day Storybrooke and what I like to call bad girl Riri, as in Regina, going undercover.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my God.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
I've just decided it's going to be called bad girl Riri.
Hashtag bad girl Riri.
Hashtag bad girl Riri, because I love Regina. If Marissa were here, she would be
I love
all
Regina
about
too.
Regina, outlaw queen. Just, she loves it, so I have to represent for her since she's not here. So she has to go through all these tests with the,
queens
of
darkness. Witches.
The queens of darkness,
yes.
The witches, to kind of prove that she is actually still evil and that she hasn't been changed from hanging out with the heroes too much.
Yeah, I agree. But towards the end, it ended up being like the other two saying, okay, Maleficent, you got this. Test her while we go do some other stuff. It was kind of weird. But,
yeah, I have thoughts on that part
yeah.
of it. We'll talk about that
mm-hmm.
in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the first test is they play a game of don't be a hero. And they park the car on the train tracks, and Regina's in the front passenger seat. So the train is now coming directly at her, and they say, the first person to attempt to save us loses because you're trying to be the hero.
And I thought that was a... Sorry, guys. I just did not like this test at all. I thought it was kind of dumb because what happens if Regina didn't do that? They would all have been dead. Or, smart move, Mark mentioned this, Regina could have just pooped herself out and the three could have gotten hit, too.
That's a great plan.
Then that proves you're the worst because you're like, I'm going to save myself. Yes. Y'all going to die. Right? Didn't care about you. Didn't care about Bagel Riri.
See, Bagel Riri is just all about like, hey, I'm going to save myself because right. this train's going to hit me, not mm-hmm. you guys. So, I mean, I think she waited long enough to not be considered a hero still, at least in my eyes, because as soon as I saw the train coming, I would have poofed us out of there.
Well, in the witch's eyes, like especially Cruella de Vil, she was like,
oh, we don't believe you. Yeah. So then they go out and Regina's like, let's have some real fun. And they go out and they basically have a night of drunken destruction.
Yes.
They are drinking, and the next morning there's a sheriff car that's mm-hmm. on fire. There's Granny's diner has been trashed, and there's like a burnt table there they mentioned, and it just things got a little out of hand, I guess.
A little bit too much fun.
Real quick though, speaking of fun and lack thereof, how is the first test of you being bad a shot? Like honestly, yeah. Like, are you bad here? Drink this. Like, they could have, what if that was a potion? That could have been a number of things. I don't think you should grab any sort of mysterious liquid from any people of magic descent, but that's just me.
I gotta say, though, that is probably the most realistic thing ever, is when you think about it, when you and your girlfriends are going through issues, what do you want to do? You want to go bad, so you go take shots together.
Go take shots.
So it makes sense, all right? It makes sense, Mark.
I'll give it to you.
But I will say this. My mother always told me not to take drinks at the bar that I didn't watch be poured, but because you never know what is in it.
But Regina's trying to prove that she is on their camp, so she has to kind of trust the evil. So, you know, she's got to take that Kool-Aid.
So at any point tonight, during all these scare tactic tests that they were putting her through, were you guys thinking that they were just setting her up or trying to use her, you know, to get revenge? Like, maybe they're pretending like, we're going to let you in, but we're feeding her false information?
I thought so in the very, very beginning, but once you start seeing the flashback and the conversations between Maleficent and Regina, you know that Maleficent has her back, and there's a tie-in that makes Maleficent kind of care for Regina as an evil person in a good way. So I thought that, no, Maleficent was definitely on her side. I feel that this might be going into predictions a little bit, but I feel that once or if Maleficent finds out Regina is actually a mole, it's gonna like just shatter everything. Cause she's also seems like the baddest of the three.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why they had to resurrect her from the dead. Yes. Cause it was like, we can't do this without her.
Right.
So then they start to go about their plan, and you know, we have the worry troop over here of, you know, the charming family who's worried about Regina because she's missing her check-ins, you know, with her undercoverness. But I understand Regina's point of view. She's trying to be covert about this.
Yes.
And they keep meeting in very public places and keep bringing more and more people every time they're meeting with her.
I completely agree with you. For the first time, I was extremely annoyed with Emma in this episode. For her to sneak in to go talk to Regina when she's trying to pick up Pinocchio, it was like, really? Is this happening right now?
Yeah.
So Regina did the right thing by kind of being like, you need to step back.
Yeah. I mean, because I get what Emma's saying, you know, she used to be a bail bondsman. She has experience pretending to be other people. Regina is the evil queen.
Yes.
She can handle herself, I think. So maybe let's trust her.
Because you're making it worse by being the only car following this other car.
It's pitch black in these streets at night, and they have one car on the road driving with its headlights. And this big old pickup truck that's probably making so many loud noises following them down the street. There's no other headlight. There was not another car on the street. How is that not obvious to anyone that they're being followed?
Mm-hmm. Her saying that she has all of this experience and then immediately negating it is just very, it's unproductive.
Yeah. But I mean, I do appreciate the fact that she did tell Regina, you know, ever since these ladies have come in town, her spidey senses have been tingling off the charts.
Her spidey senses.
I mean, I don't really know how to explain her.
Her intuition?
Her superpower.
Yeah, her superpower is, like, going off the charts. She thinks everyone's lying to her, which, I mean, they kind of are. They're making her feel crazy by saying they're not, but everyone is keeping stuff from her right now, so she has a right to be. But that also feeds into the fact of why she's being overly into the business of this. That on top of the fact that she did tell Regina, I am with you, I'm Operation Mongoose, like, I want to help you because
cute.
I played a factor in your unhappiness. I want to redeem it.
I actually really like that part when Emma did say, look, I told you I'm in with Operation Mongoose, so I'm in, and I really respect that. I like it when Emma is nice to Regina. Because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
It's happening a lot more now, but, you know.
I think it's because Emma's very happy in her relationship.
Why?
So she's just trying to, like, oh, I have to pay it forward now and make sure someone else is happy.
How sad am I talking about Swanfire a season later, a year later? I still ship for that, but anyway.
It's okay. It's all about hookers for life. So
you're in the lead.
We learn that their plan is, the villain's plan, they want to find the author. Because they want to shift the balance and have the villains be the winners and the heroes be the losers, therefore taking away all of their happy endings.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, this might be a little predictions, but, like, what do the other two have, like, what would their happy ending be?
You mean Cruella
for
and
Cruella
Ursula?
And Ursula. Because I kind of get Maleficent if she, you know, lost a child, like we found out last week. But the other two, it's just sort of like, why are you so committed to this?
Well, I guess we got to figure out their backstory. I think Ursula has something to do with Hook, whatever that may be, because there's obviously something really gigantic that's happened between them based on last week's interaction and then the previews for next week. Cruella, I have no idea. Something to do with Dalmatians. I hope we see tons of Dalmatians at some point because they're
maybe
so cute.
She wants Pongo back.
I know. So.
I think we're asking the right questions. I think being at this point with the show, we just saw where Maleficent came from, or a little bit more of where Maleficent came from. And next week it looks like we're going to see where the whole deal with Ursula and Hook. So I think it's only a matter of time before we find out what everybody's happy ending is going to be.
It's going to
and
be.
What Gold's new happy ending is going to be if he has another one.
I feel like it's going to be Belle. A little bit.
You still got them together, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if the writer, or if August was never supposed to come back, and all of a sudden, and Bellfire is kind of gone, there's you can never say never with this show. You really can. You never know what's going to happen, and there's entirely a chance that someone who's supposed to stay dead won't.
That's very true. Yeah. I mean, even Maleficent is history to that, because she died in season one. So
that's true.
We know that they're going after the author. We know that they have some sort of source of dark magic. Regina's trying to figure out what that source is. They then take her on a little bit of a goose hung. It was kind of like one of those magic tricks. Like, we're going to distract you over here by saying we need Pinocchio, but really Rumple's up to something over here, which is going to really solidify a lot of things, which we'll get to. So they go after Pinocchio. Regina has to get in the car that Cruella has enchanted to just drive itself. The way that she drives, Ghost I wouldn't car. Trust. Yeah, I wouldn't trust a car enchanted by her because she's a crazy enough driver that I don't even want to be in a vehicle with
her. Maleficent was like, "Or you can drive it. It's up to you."
Yeah.
So she did.
So
I guess.
She did. So they show up at Geppetto's house and the plan is they have to kidnap Pinocchio because he has answers. Regina's like, I already tried questioning him. He doesn't remember anything. Like, if you really want me to believe that you're still a villain, you'll go kidnap that child because clearly you weren't using enough force to get it out of him. And Regina just last week has, you know, went back to Geppetto and apologized.
Yeah, made amends.
You know, made amends, talked about how, you know, if someone were to do that to Henry, there's this whole thing. So then that's when Emma interrupts in the story and it's like, what are you doing? No, we have to get him to safety. And Regina's like, look, I got this. I'll protect him. As long as I'm there, I'll make sure they don't hurt him too badly. And if anything gets out of control, I will step in.
Did you trust that when Regina said that, did you trust that she would be able to protect or would protect Pinocchio? Because I wasn't so sure.
I did trust her, but I watch a lot of cop shows. And the cops who go under, the longer you're under, the harder it is to come out of that. And sometimes when you're undercover, you have to watch some minor bad things happen so that you can get them for the bigger thing.
Like, so are you saying that little Pinocchio might be worth the risk?
I am not condemning kidnapping or abuse of children to get anything. But I do believe that Regina would have protected Pinocchio for as long as she could have while he was a child. And what happened with him kind of happened so fast she couldn't stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
She it's kind of out of her hands at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, and he's not like he's dead or...
Yeah, he's still... He's just back to the... He's back to August.
He's August now.
I was so happy.
I'm happy to see it.
Happy to see August. I was so sad when we lost him.
I know.
Especially since they haven't been using the Pinocchio character at all since we lost August. So it was kind of like, why'd we even have to lose him if you're not even using this kid?
Well, you called it in the episode. You were like, I really want to see August back. And well, you wish is your command.
Maybe I have magical powers. And I made that happen tonight.
That's awesome.
Please don't have dark magic.
Oh, you never know.
She definitely has dark magic.
Is there a dagger hidden somewhere? Segway.
Maybe.
Segway
into Belle, who's happily moving on with her life, or at least trying
to move on. Yeah, she's trying because she's very much admittedly not over it, which I understand.
Yeah. I mean, it also hasn't really been that long, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So she is out on her little date with Will, and in walks Hook, who we know had the information because he had just come from the library where they told him that, you know, they were going after something big, dark, and powerful. His idea is, what if they're coming after the dagger? If they are, we need to move it because they... are friends with Rumpel on the outside. What if he told them enough so that they could figure out where she would have hid the knife?
Right. You just brought up an amazing point. How long was Gold Hook? How long has Gold been Hook?
Oh, like...
Because if he knew that, then he was in the meeting with the Charmings in the library.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I said it, and I didn't even realize that's what I said.
See, your dark magic will power yourself.
What a jerk!
Gosh, what if it's been him this whole time? So, but then he would know about Regina being on both sides, and he could still be playing her.
Exactly, because he's... there. I was going to say, when we get to the end, he's smarter than just letting her... in.
Yeah.
So he's using her, and hopefully he's using the three of them. It got so much deeper and so much more meta this episode.
Well then. I mean, it's very possible, and I love Rumpel, whether he's evil or good.
I actually prefer him as evil.
Yeah. I like both. I think he does a really good job when he's being used in the good capacity. It's a good storyline for and what he does in that.
He just says "Derry" the right way.
No, like when he's like really in love and when he wants to like make men fix his relationship with Balefire and all that stuff.
That stuff is always feel nice, but I prefer him.
See, dark magic over here.
I'm just saying because whenever he's good, Rumpel, I still don't trust him. So he might as well still just be the bad guy I don't get to trust.
Because he's always evil deep down. Okay, well, that's a whole other twist.
But speaking of him always being evil, too, we don't know, well, like Mark just brought up, we don't know how long he's been posing as Hook. So we don't know what information he has. But we know that he has taken Belle. They find the dagger. He even tempts her into trying... She's like, wait a second. What if he's already here and this is the only protection I have? And he's like, well, if he's here, then like summon him and he would have to come. And she does. And technically, he's already there.
And we all knew. Like, we all said, like, there's something off.
Like, there's something weird about Hook right now. Because I know my Hook. Hooker for life. I know him so well that I could tell from the moment he sat down at the diner that something was off. And then at one point, I can't remember when, he referred to her as deer. And in my mind, that went off as a trigger. Like, why would he say deer? That's not in Hook's vocabulary.
You don't think it is? I think he says deer, right?
Not to Belle.
He says lass a little bit more than he says deer.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And so when he said deer, just and to Belle, it just seemed really off to me.
Uh-huh.
At least that's when my siren started going off. So we find out that it actually is Rumpel disguised as Hook, who He now has his own dagger, which means that he's basically unstoppable. No one is going to be able to tell him what to do or how to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then he even goes, he even kind of twists the knife and is already, like, in his back more by asking about her relationship with Will at the end when they're back in the shop. He's like, oh, so, you know, are things serious?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
How do you feel about him? And it's just like, dude, you already saw her kissing him. Why torture yourself even more by asking these questions? But hopefully he still wants to try to make out with her, because that could make him still good. I don't know.
So you do want to see them kind of fix things? I think I'm kind of done with this Rumpel wanting Belle back. It's just time for something else, because he keeps deceiving her anyway.
And I agree. Like, the whole last bit was about trusting her by giving her the dagger, which, you know, wasn't the real dagger, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you try to go down that same avenue by, to her face, I mean, she doesn't know, but to her face, going, hey, that one thing that I wanted you to trust me with, give it back.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, right. And, like, he just keeps going down. Like, he obviously cares about himself more than Belle. I'm looking at some tweets, just some cute comments. Kathleen Trash says, Regina is the Snow White of the villains.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
I like that analogy. That's kind of cool.
It's very true, yeah. Too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's a good one for now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being on top of it for Twitter.
I'm trying.
So the real kicker that I love that Rumpel added this last part in, he tells her that they have to take a pirate's oath to never speak about what happened tonight to each other or to anyone else to make sure that no one knows about it.
Can I just say that for a Disney princess who's supposed to be the most intelligent, the sharpest, just the most, like, one of the most, just intuitive. She's lacking a lot in once. Like, she just seems like she just kind of a little more naive, this version of Belle, you know?
My thought to that is that Belle was always very book smart.
Right.
She's not very street smart.
And
what she's doing, or what she's dealing with, is someone who's not playing by the rules.
Uh-huh.
So you can't be... You can't know what to expect. If it was coming from a rule book, she knows how to play that game. These are now, I'm gonna get ghetto with, these are the streets. And in the streets, things get nasty and dirty, but, and she doesn't know how to play nasty and dirty because she's Belle.
But the thing is, like, she has been burned so many times that how many more times are you gonna put your hand on the hot stove, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but then I think in her mind, just, she banished him. So she doesn't think that, she's not thinking that she's being manipulated.
But she sensed it, right? She's like, I'm sensing that he's still around. Don't you think that's weird?
What I don't agree with is that this whole, like, let's keep it a secret. To me, it's like, yes, hey, Belle.
That's the big part.
That should have been the trigger warning of, hey, he now doesn't want to speak about this for the protection. I mean, I don't have to tell people where it's hidden or that he moved it, but I can say that, you know, we're thinking, what if Rumpel has something, is tying into these people? This is something we need to be alert of. Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that should have triggered for her. Wait, that's kind of suspect. And then he turns around and asks a little bit about my relationship, when we know that Hook doesn't really go into that detail. Mm-hmm. It's just, Belle, man, you're falling off.
I figure the reason they brought it up was not so that Belle could question it, was so that, for this exact reason, it could stick out in our minds and it's going to come up. Some huge thing is going to happen that's going to really shake Belle, where she's going to be like, I know we made an oath, but we got to talk about it. Where did you put it? He's back. I figure that's going to be right before the reveal that Rumpel is back.
And then Hook is going to be like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And I just hope that people don't blame poor Hook, because...
They're not going to blame him.
It's not his fault.
It's not. No, they're not going to blame him.
Yeah. So, did I miss anything that you guys wanted to talk about in this episode?
What do you guys think? I guess not. I was going to ask, but we already talked about it. August turning, you know, revealing himself to be an adult again. He's back and all that stuff. So,
yeah. So, let's just get into predictions and we can talk about all that fun.
Yeah, let's do it. Because predictions... That's the best part about Once Upon a Time After Show, is we have so many predictions.
And the predictions can go anywhere because anything can happen.
I wanted to mention last week, some YouTubers mentioned in the comments that they think Lily might be Maleficent's child. And I thought that was a really, really good prediction.
I think it is, too.
I didn't think about that at all, but I thought, wow. Because, you know, they're around the same age range, and there's a tie-in between the two of them, so that would make sense.
And we're supposed to see Lily again.
Yeah.
There's an episode coming up titled Lily, so... Mm-hmm. Hopefully we will get some answers about that, because, but I love that prediction as well. I think it's a really smart one. I'm going to predict that August is going to stay August. I really don't want him to go back into Pinocchio.
I agree. No, please don't.
But it could also bring up a little bit of, you know, feelings for, you know, Emma, because they had like their strong...
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it because I liked August, and I think Emma is very happy in her very stable and strong relationship, so I don't think it will affect, but it'll be interesting to have August back all of a sudden, if they even get to the point where people know about it, because we don't know what they're going to do to him to try and get information.
I mean, I definitely hope that there comes a point where he's not just sitting on that chair the whole entire time. I want him to get out there and relive Storybrooke again, because that would be awesome. I think a prediction I have is that I think that Regina is going to somehow turn, not evil, but have a soft spot for Maleficent in some sense. Like she's gonna end up saving her in some way or some manner. But that might change upon watching more episodes.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'm gonna say I want to predict like what Ursula and Cruella De Vil's happy endings are that they're striving for.
Okay.
I'm going to say because there's some link between Ursula from The Little Mermaid and Hook from Peter Pan, maybe, I don't know, their worlds were actually connected because there's mermaids in Neverland and there's mermaids in Little Mermaid. So, and in the original Disney story of The Little Mermaid, or not Disney story, in the original, I believe, Ursula is King Triton's sister.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So... And she had been banished because of something that she did that was horrible. Mm. So that's why she was always after Ariel. So maybe that storyline is going to connect to what she wants her happy ending, because her brother got the kingdom and she didn't. And maybe that will be hers.
I think it has something to do with some type of romantic involvement. And I feel that Hook promised her something that he didn't end up giving her. And that costed her her happy ending.
Okay. Mark?
Mark is...
Well, there's a lot. I think as much as I would like to see August back, based on all of the magic that he's been subject to, and also we don't know, since it was the tag at the end, if this is temporary or if this is just so that they can interview him for a little bit and then he goes back to being a kid. I like the actor and I like the performance, and I've always liked August as a character, so I'd love to see him back. I just think we don't know. And in terms of happy endings, I think Cruella's is going to be really silly and vain. Like, really, really dumb. Like, everybody's just really deep. But she's like, I just want more of that car. You know? It's so sweet. In case I crash it, I just want backups. But Ursula, I hope they don't go the romantic route. Because everybody is so... There's love pentagrams. You know? Like, the heptagram. Like, there's so much... Not even triangles anymore. And I hope it's something business-related. Like... Or something small, like he caught her one day in the net, and then it's like, we're just going to keep you trapped, and that maybe she was kept as a prisoner on the ship because she was magic. Who knows?
Maybe.
And as for Cruella, I really have no assessment, because I look back into like the Disney times, and she was just an evil person trying to hurt doggies, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe she fell in love with a fire hydrant.
Okay.
So I don't know.
The last question, because I don't believe this has been answered, but who's Maleficent's baby daddy?
Is it King Stefan? About that.
But he seemed to hate her, and that's the only person romantically.
Well, one enchanting drunken evening that happens. I don't know.
I think if they went the way that the Maleficent movie was, they would go with King Stefan. But judging off of their interaction tonight, I don't think so. I think they're gonna go with something much more shocking and out there.
I think it could be Rumples, because he seems very neutral with her. Like, yeah, that happened. that happened, you know?
Okay.
She's playing it cool.
Yeah,
she's playing it cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, just to give him another child.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It puts him on the map again. He needs it, but, you know.
All right. Well, you guys at home, make sure you let us know who you think Maleficent's baby daddy is. Also, let us know all your thoughts about tonight's episode. You can find us on Twitter and YouTube and AfterBuzzTV.com and SoundCloud and iTunes, and you can go in all those places and you can rate us, subscribe to us, you can leave us comments because we do read them all and we love what you guys are saying and we love your predictions. And make sure if you're tweeting, you're using the hashtag ABTV once. And where can they find you on Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff?
They can find me. You guys can find me at K-A-O-R-I-O-U-S. That's Kaorius. Instagram, Twitter, everywhere, YouTube. That's me.
Yes. That's her. And Mark?
You can find me on Twitter at SoapboxMark. I respond there mostly, and then I'm here most of the time, so I'll see you around.
She sleeps here.
Yeah. On the couch. On the couches. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we will be back next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.